Welcome to Your Family Dog, a podcast dedicated to helping families love living with dogs. Here are your hosts, Julie Fudge-Smith and Colleen Pilar.
Hi, welcome to Your Family Dog. I'm Colleen Pilar, and I'm here with Julie Fudge-Smith. And this week, I was looking through Julie's website, because why not? And Julie has a ton of things on her blog, and I came across a post from a couple of years ago that I thought was really good and I thought would be a great thing to do a podcast episode about. She has it on her blog, and we will, of course, put a link in our show notes, but it was posted in February 22nd, 2016, and the title is My Dog, Cat, Hamster, Ferret, Potbellied Pig, Healthy? A checklist to help you know. And there's a great list of things that people should be thinking about. So, Julie, can you tell us a little bit about what made you write this one and where you found this terrific list?
Well, at the time, I had a client who I think asked me about how do I know if my dog's healthy? And I thought to myself, I think somewhere in the back of my head, there's a checklist and that I had been familiar with when I was working in when I was a pet sitter as well. So I found it on the National Association of Professional Pet Sitters website. And it's a terrific little checklist. And it's something that you should probably do once a month. And it's a whole list of statements. And what you're supposed to do is read through the statements and ask yourself if this statement is true about my pet. And if it's true, then you don't need to worry about it. But if it's not true, then it's something that you need to keep an eye on or perhaps talk to your vet about. Now, they suggest you do this once a month, which I have to confess, I don't do this once a month because I am not that good of a pet owner, apparently. But I do try to do it somewhat regularly. And I've decided that I think what I need to do is just put it on my calendar the first of the month or the 15th of the month, choose a day and go, you know, just a reminder that every month I'm going to do my pet health checklist. And I think that if I actually had it as a reminder on my calendar, I would do it because it's not that hard. It doesn't take that long. But some of the things that they say is that you should ask yourself, is my dog or cat or potbelly pig or whatever it is acting normally and in good spirits? Doesn't tire easily from moderate exercise? Has a normal appetite and hasn't lost or gained much weight? Doesn't vomit after eating. Always a nice one. I just kind of like it when my dogs don't vomit after eating. Produces what appears to be normal stools and urine. Doesn't drag her bottom or chew under her tail excessively. Has a full coat with no missing hair, mats, or excessive shedding. Doesn't itch, scratch, or chew himself or herself excessively. Has healthy skin with no dry flakes, greasy feel, or bad odor. Doesn't have fleas, ticks, or mites. So that's sort of, looks to me like that's a really good beginning of looking at your dog and something you can quickly and easily assess. And I think that if your dog does have fleas, ticks, or mites, that's something you do want to address pretty quickly. And by the way, one thing I learned from my vet about fleas do not like vacuums. And the single most effective way you can to eliminate fleas from your house is to vacuum. So
really?
So when we had fleas, not only did my dogs get Capstar, which is an oral flea medication, and then they got bathed, and I washed all the bed linens and doggy bed linens and our bed linens, because, yes, my dogs sleep on the bed. But then I became a vacuuming fanatic, and I vacuumed every day. And it really does do a really good job of getting rid of fleas. It's important to vacuum. There's no part of the flea, whether it's egg, larvae, or adult, that likes a vacuum. So my house is really clean once upon a time. Not anymore, but once upon a time. So, Colleen, you want to continue with the rest with another part of this list?
Yes. Doesn't have any lumps or bumps on her body, which is an important thing to check.
Like, absolutely.
Like we've all felt some of the fatty deposits that dogs get as they age or some of the other things, and you do always want to have those checked. Has clean ears with no debris or odor and doesn't shake her head or dig at her ears excessively. Clear eyes and clean ears. Has bright, clear eyes that are free of matter. Seems to have normal hearing and reacts as usual to her environment. moves and walks easily without stiffness or pain, has healthy feet and short nails. And that one's interesting to me because very often I'll have a client where we'll be talking about the dog and I look at the feet and I think, I bet it's really hard to do those nails, or that, you know, that they have grown so long. Sometimes the fur gets matted and you can tell that it's just uncomfortable for the dog to walk on, and that we may have either a behavior issue that the dog doesn't
Absolutely.
Want their nails done, or some other sort of issue there.
Yeah, nails, I think, are a really big one. And I think one of the things you need to remember is that if you can hear your dog's nail going click, 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 click across the floor, they're too long. Mm-hmm. They should be walking on their pads, not their nails. And if you think about it, it can be really painful for a dog because when the pressure's on the nails like that, it pushes them into the nail bed. Mm-hmm. So pay close attention to that. And I know that the matting between toes can be highly uncomfortable for dogs as well and can get them to start chewing and making it worse. I know our Hudson had a real problem with mats between his paw pads and didn't particularly like us working on them. But boy, he felt better when we got them out. So the last part of the list is breathes normally without straining or coughing, has normal thirst and drinks as often and the same amount as usual, which I also think is an important one because every dog is different. I have, like, my Bingley would put his entire head into a bucket and drink that way. And one of the reasons I knew that things were deteriorating for him is he stopped drinking and he loved water. So,
yeah.
Urinates as often and has the same amount as usual, has a moist nose that's free of discharge, has clean white teeth that are free of plaque and tartar, has pink gums with no redness or offensive breath odor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the clean teeth, that's another one. You know, keeping your dog's teeth and plaque free and without tartar can actually lengthen your dog's life. One of the ways in which people unfortunately shorten their dog's life is by not taking good care of their dog's teeth. And because when you start getting that plaque and tartar buildup, it starts to infect the gums. And when the gums get infected, then that infection can actually go into the bloodstream and can cause all kinds of systemic problems. It does it for people as well. My mother, when she had Alzheimer's and needed to have her teeth cleaned, we had to put her on an antibiotic for a week ahead of time in order to make sure that she did not have, when her teeth were clean, that the she didn't have a bacterial infection that entered her system through her gums. Mm-hmm. And she was, as an Alzheimer's patient, was very susceptible to infections. So it can work that way for your dog, too.
Alzheimer's patient, she was very susceptible. Is there a link
to infections? Like, yeah.
Why is that?
Well, at least my understanding, now, if there's a doctor out there and I'm completely wrong, please correct me. But my understanding is, and at least what I saw with my own mother, is that she had very limited resources to maintain herself. And mm-hmm. so all of her resources were going towards maintaining what she had. So if there was any kind of a health issue, if she got an infection, her resistance was lower. If she got a cold, what we would find is she actually would experience a dramatic decrease in mental faculties if she got an infection or a cold or something like that, because she didn't have any resources left mm-hmm. to put towards some kind of a stress on her system, be it an infection or a cold or something like that. So she would have a dramatic decrease in her mental facility. And then when she got over the cold or the infection or whatever, she didn't bounce back to where she was beforehand. And
That's
she was
very
also,
interesting. And yeah. It makes sense, but it's something I hadn't ever really thought about before.
Yeah, but they were just insistent that before her teeth got cleaned, she had to go on an antibiotic because they didn't want to risk an infection. And yeah. I just think that she have a greater effect, but I think she was just more susceptible because she did not have the same level of resources available to take care of things like that.
Back on the dog perspective
yes.
here, it seems like if you were to look through this list on a monthly basis, this should take you 60 to 90 seconds to just kind of like run through and think of like, yeah, let me think about all of those things individually and answer the questions. So I currently have a dog who's a little bit older and he's at least 12 and a half because I've had him 10 and a half years and they told us he was 2 or 3 when we got him. So I am starting to watch him for signs of aging, but I haven't been good about consistently checking. And that is one of the things that Dr. Kara said in the episodes she recorded with us a while back. She was in episodes 26 and 27, and those are really good episodes about sort of end-of-life issues for your dog. So if you have thoughts on that, those are great episodes to go listen to. But I'm going to set it up on my calendar, I think, with my heartworm pill, the checklist, and just doing it monthly and just running through and also taking a photo and a short video, which is something that Dr. Karras recommended too.
Absolutely.
Because then you have a little bit of documentation of how is the animal moving in September versus October. And that is, I think, a real simple thing to do and probably really valuable. But since I haven't done it, I'm going to tell you that right now. So you can maybe in a future episode ask me how I'm doing. Hold me accountable here to make sure I'm providing good tracking for my little guy.
I will. I will be sure to do that. You know, I was going to say, too, that some of these are more serious than others. Things like, for example, seizures or fainting episodes. Dogs don't faint like opossums do. I think that's usually indicative of a low blood pressure issue and should be addressed immediately. And certainly if your dog has a seizure, that needs to be addressed as well, because there are a lot of different causes for seizures and you want to find out as soon as you can. Some dogs just have idiopathic seizure disorders, but others may have something more serious, such as cancer, or brain cancer or something. So, which kind of brings me to the next.
And if you've never seen a dog have a seizure, it's an interesting experience in that sometimes it's so clear, like that is a seizure. My dog is having a seizure. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's a little bit more gray area, because years ago I had a dog who was prone to seizures. And I vividly recall after her first seizure, she was not right and she was shaking a little and she lost control of her bowels. And I took her to the vet and she was totally normal and healthy. So I'm in the emergency vet waiting room with this totally normal, healthy dog. And it was a busy night. And so they were like, I'm so sorry, but we're taking care of other dogs right now. We are going to get to you. And I'm like, something bad happened to my dog an hour ago. And then a dog came in having massive grand mal seizures. And they were all just focused on that dog. And my dog, totally normal and healthy. And I went home. Like, she was okay. And I said to Jack, I was like, oh, it was just terrifying. This dog was having seizures all over the place. And I hadn't realized that my dog also had a seizure. She hadn't had the extreme version that this dog did. All I knew was something weird had happened to her. But I didn't use the word seizure about it until the second time it occurred. And then it got so that I could predict them, not as well as she could. I could predict them by the fact that she would come over to me and sort of cling to my feet and be in the way. I was like, what is the matter with you? Oh, we have 60 seconds before this gets bad. But it seems like you would totally know if your dog's had a seizure. And I didn't know that's what it was until later.
Yeah, you're right. And that's very, I think, an important thing to remember. So that if your dog is acting in an odd way like that and does have these moments of not seeming to be there, probably is a good indication of a seizure. The other thing is if your dog is having a seizure, don't touch it. Leave it alone and let the seizure finish on its own. And the reason for that is so counterintuitive. You so want to hug your dog. You so want to tell him it's okay. And you can talk to him all you want. But actually, you should just leave him to have the seizure. And the reason for that is because when you touch a dog, you're actually adding to the stimulation and can actually increase the length of the seizure. So it's really important to, as hard as it is, to let the seizure run its course. But there's a lot of great seizure medications out there. So there's some new ones and some old ones that work pretty well. They do, some of them have more serious side effects than others, but certainly there's a lot you can do to help a dog that has a seizure disorder.
Yeah, I think my dog lived, I don't know, 7 or 8 years after her first seizure. I mean, in her case, it was not a debilitating thing. It was just sometimes, and we never did figure out her trigger, but a couple of times a year, we would have that. I know that your daughter's dog had a much more serious issue.
He did. He ended up having a very serious seizure disorder, but we always knew when Tex was headed in that direction, because one of the things that the Tex would do is he would get kind of antsy and need to go out, and he would pace the yard and throw up and then have a seizure. Mm-hmm. So, so if your dog does have sort of, I would say, an altered consciousness or an altered state of being, that's something to certainly take into consideration and should be seen by a vet. Now, there are other, the Blue Buffalo Company, I did another blog on warning signs of things, and that was warning signs of cancer, and that was in March of 2017. It's called Warning Signs of Cancer. Pretty straightforward on that one.
Julie's all about the warning signs.
I am. Apparently, I'm out to scare all of my dog owners. But they did. The Blue Buffalo Company has a foundation for cancer research, and they have a pet cancer awareness website, which is devoted strictly to pet cancer signs and symptoms. And so I copied their list. And one of the first ones was swollen lymph nodes. So dogs have lymph nodes in some of the same places that people do, like in armpits and leg pits. Mm-hmm. And so if, in fact, that was the sign that Bingley had cancer, was he had a swollen lymph node that we had taken care of. And he had histiocytic sarcoma, which actually starting in his lymph nodes was the secondary cancer. But an enlarging or changing lump, just like people do. Older dogs can get fatty lumps. But your vet should be able to tell you whether that is something that needs to be taken a closer look at, whether you need needle aspirate or take a look at something else. Abdominal distension, chronic weight loss. That was a thing for our Buckley, is he was losing weight. And for a while, we realized we actually needed to feed him more. And that worked. But then when he did get cancer, he was losing weight. Chronic vomiting or diarrhea. And this is chronic. There's a difference between acute and chronic. And acute may mean that I ate a dead bird in the yard that you didn't know about, and so now I have to throw it up. It could also be chronic, which means that no matter what you do, it keeps coming back. And that's where you really need to get it addressed. Unexplained bleeding, from parts that aren't supposed to bleed. Or I know that for female dogs that are not spayed, there can be a form of uterine or cancer that can come on very quickly, uterine infection. So anytime there's any kind of bleeding and you know your dog's not in heat, for example, get your dog to the vet quickly. Coughing. Everybody coughs on occasion, but if it's a non-productive, especially a dry non-productive cough, that can be, that should prompt chest x-rays. Make sure that you're not talking about some sort of pneumonia, if nothing else.
Yeah.
Lameness, unexplained lameness. That's how we found it in Bingley. No matter, he had a soft tissue histiocytic sarcoma on his left front leg. And no matter what we did, it didn't seem to actually get any better. It became quite chronic. And unfortunately, he was misdiagnosed about a year and a half before the real diagnosis came out. So what I would say is I don't feel like with Bingley, unfortunately, although the diagnosis came later than I would have liked, like a year later, what happened was it wasn't so much that I think that the vets were negligent. They were trying very hard to figure out why Bingley was lame. And they came up with an answer, and the initial treatment seemed to work. But what I would say is if your dog seems to have fluid around the joint that is unexplained, see an oncologist, because they know how to detect whether or not that is histiocytic sarcoma, which is fairly common in the flat-coated. It's not a common cancer in other dogs, but it is common in flat-coated retrievers, golden retrievers, Rottweilers, and Bernese Mountain Dogs. So if you have some unexplained swelling or fluid retention around a joint and nobody seems to be able to explain it, ask to see an oncologist. They can probably explain it to you. So the last two are straining to urinate and an oral odor. Just because your dog has bad breath doesn't mean necessarily that he just needs to have his teeth cleaned. It can indicate other things. I know that kidney disease has a very distinct oral odor, and it can also indicate other things. So if your dog who used to have really nice breath and his teeth are pretty clean, but he's got a really bad mouth odor, ask your vet about it, because it could indicate something more serious. Maybe not cancer, but maybe even just kidney disease. So with that happy note, Colleen, do you have anything to add to this? It's another one.
I think these lists are really useful and helpful. So we'll have links in the show notes so that people can find these actual full lists, because that was a lot. I'm sure people were taking notes.
Oh, I'm sure
in their
they were jotting down everything.
Pulling over and like, let me write all of that down. But we will put links in the show notes so that you can find these lists if you're looking for them. But I really think just having a basic checklist, just a quick scan that you do once a month at a specific time, there's a reminder of some sort, has tremendous value even for very young dogs.
Absolutely.
But certainly for any dog over seven.
Mm-hmm. You know. Well, I think what's nice about...
Says a person who isn't doing it, but will.
Yes. But I think the nice thing about starting with a younger dog and studying this as a routine, what you now have is a baseline upon which to judge any changes. It's kind of like having, you know, complete blood work done. So you have a baseline for your dog so that something happens, you know what healthy looks like in your dog. And so if you do this early, you do know what healthy looks like. And you're going to be much more attuned then to what unhealthy looks like very quickly. So, but I think no matter what the age of your dog is, if you start doing this, I think you'll find that it becomes pretty quickly a routine. She's thus saying something that she doesn't do on a routine basis. I'm saying everybody else who will find this to be easy to do on a routine basis. And maybe I will too. So Colleen, we are going to have to check in. We're going to have to hold each other accountable for this and check in with each other on this.
Sounds good. All right. We will.
All right. Well, I think that does it for this episode. And Colleen, we will see you in 2 weeks, as we're now on our new schedule. So if you have any questions, comments, suggestions, we would love, love, love to hear from you. And you can still contact us the same way you could last year at feedback@yourfamilydogpodcast.com. Or you can call and leave us a message.
614-349-1661.
Thank you, Colleen, for that. All right. And see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Your Family Dog. Got questions? Interesting ideas? Colleen and Julie would love to hear them. Call 614-349-1661 or visit www.yourfamilydogpodcast.com to share your thoughts.